We were there when the lights went out in Puerto Rico. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, the state of the world economy through the lens of the International Monetary Fund, the multi-country agency that gets called in when economies unravel. The IMF's big meeting in Washington today comes with data. Andrew Walker is economics correspondent for our partner broadcaster, the BBC.
The IMF's economists have already presented forecasts for the strongest global growth since 2011. But they're wary about the outlook, and we can expect the agency's managing director, Christine Lagarde, to issue some pointed warnings, some directed at the United States. One major concern is global debt at its highest ever level. Much, though not all, of the increase is government debt. That's by no means just a US issue, but IMF economists have been calling for the administration to change course, or recalibrate it, as they have called it in diplomatically chosen language. They think President Trump's tax reforms will add to government debt, and clearly don't accept his view that they will generate sufficient extra growth to pay for themselves. We can also expect Madame Lagarde to sound the alarm about the economic damage a trade war would cause, a warning directed in large part at the US.
Andrew, thank you. Markets, the FTSE index in London is up 0.1%. Dow, S&P and Nasdaq futures are down in the 1 to 0.2% range. It is 7 months since Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico. Power is still a problem. 7 months later, yesterday, the electricity went out across the length and breadth of Puerto Rico, the whole island. My colleague, Marketplace Weekend host Lizzie O'Leary, was reporting in Puerto Rico when the lights went out. She sat down with the island's governor, Ricardo Rossello, at his official residence in San Juan with lights courtesy of backup generators. Here's Lizzie.
So we're 7 months after the storm. An island-wide outage today. Why?
Because we have a terrible electric system. It's outdated. It's old. I mean, if there's any further evidence that we need to make the push for the transformation I've been calling upon for the past year, here you have an excavator. One excavator essentially eliminates 99% of the energy access in Puerto Rico. This is just absurd in the 21st century, and my commitment is to make sure that we get the energy transformation mechanism that we need for the people of Puerto Rico.
When you say energy transformation mechanism, I assume you mean selling or privatizing PREPA.
There's two components to it. Selling, concessions, public-private alliances, and so forth, that's just a mechanism, right? But the objective is arriving at an energy system that's akin to what people are calling Energy 2.0, where the consumer has control. You can opt in, opt out. Where we have more renewables, we are aiming for 35 to 40% renewables in Puerto Rico, where we can decrease dramatically the cost of energy. Now, that might sound in contradiction to the previous statement, but Puerto Rico is one of the only places where our energy costs right now are way higher than renewable costs. So we have that opportunity. And lastly, by driving down the cost, we can use that as a economic development motor. So that's the objective. How we get there? Well, I've proposed that we do having a concession for the transmission and distribution, and then either privatizing or public-private alliances for the generation.
How do you expect to find a buyer if the utility is insolvent? Who's going to want to take that on?
There's a process right now in Title III, which is obviously a restructuring court. So we'll see how that goes, but certainly the objective over here is a long-term transformation for Puerto Rico. Whatever we do in energy has a direct impact on our economy, so it will have a direct impact on bondholders and all stakeholders. If we reduce the energy cost to 20 cents a kilowatt hour, which is our objective, from over 30 cents a kilowatt hour that's projected to be in the next couple of years, then we can start driving economic growth and pushing forward. So I think it's a critical part of the whole picture to make sure that the energy piece gets on their way.
Puerto Rico's governor, Ricardo Rossello, yesterday speaking with Marketplace's Lizzie O'Leary. She'll be back on the Marketplace PM show today with an update on the island's schools. Just as you count on Marketplace for reliable, in-depth news and information, we're counting on listeners like you to invest in what we do. The more people who support Marketplace, the more that we can do to raise economic intelligence across the country. You'll reap the rewards every time you listen, knowing that you're helping Marketplace make people smarter about the economy and why all this matters. And here's the thing. Your donation now will be matched dollar for dollar when you give today, thanks to a generous challenge from our friends at Candida. Become a Marketplace investor at marketplace.org. And thanks for making a difference. Today, we'll get the weekly tally of people who sign up for unemployment benefits after losing a job. That number's been down, given a jobless rate of just 4.1%. Today's angle from Marketplace's Renata Sego, what this means for younger workers.
A motivated and skilled 20- or 30-something-year-old is a premium in today's labor force. That's according to James Heckman, who teaches economics at the University of Chicago.
Young, highly skilled people are always in demand for a very good reason. You have them around for a long time, and it's worth investing in them.
But young people are not always a perfect fit for the jobs that are available, especially those that require special skills. What managers need is young people
prepared to learn how to do things that employers would like.
David Blau teaches economics at The Ohio State University. He says there's a skills gap partly because of rising college tuition. That's making it hard for many young people to finish school. And some industries that have offered pathways to entry-level positions are changing. The National Association of Colleges and Employers found in a new survey that companies are looking to hire fewer college graduates than last year. That's especially true in retail, with more and more online sales, and insurance due to a costly hurricane season. I'm Renata Sego for Marketplace.
And the Senate has voted to put the kibosh on rules designed to stop car dealers from discriminating against people of color. Supporters of the move say the government used faulty data to go after car dealers for charging higher interest on loans to people of color. Opponents say now there will be more discrimination if the House goes along with this, which it probably will. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.